You were at the heart of the game there at Twickenham, indeed very well established there, when it came to the transition to professional rugby.
Yes.
Give us your take on that.
Nobody wanted it. I used to have some wonderful times with the secretaries of the union, you know, particularly, was it Bob Weyhill, Dudley Wood, very nice chap, very nice blokes. They went there saying, God, the professionalism, there'll be no more doctors, dentists playing. And I said, yes. I said, look, I'm not saying we should have profession, but I said it's inevitable because the players themselves are wanting to be paid. Mm. And there was a lot of Rob Andrew, Will Carling and others were forming little cliques and getting around other players and getting some income for types of sponsorship. And so it was developing. And I was trying to do it in a controlled manner. And it became increasingly difficult, you know. So come 1995, suddenly the international board in South Africa said, boom, it's a, well, I didn't say it was a professional game, so, but that in all essence was what it was. Now, I was of the opinion that it would come. It was absolutely inevitable that it would happen. But it ought to be controlled. We ought to have the contracts. Now, I've read bits and pieces about me and contracts and so forth. And I was wanting them to have contracts, but the Rugby Union Committee didn't. The secretaries didn't want the professional game. So you've always got these two games. Don't forget, you've got the committee, you've got the game itself. Yeah. And the two, New Zealand, I know they're having difficulty financing it, but all their major players are under contract. South Africa and Australia are the same. England aren't. And it's always been a problem. It's costing them millions now to get in to the clubs to give them some money.
Yeah.
So it was tricky. 1995, they suddenly announced it was going that way. I got a contract for the players, which was for just to play international rugby. But the committee would not have them under contract under any circumstances. The secretaries didn't want it, and if the secretaries didn't want it, who they were meeting the executive committee. That was it. And so it was exceedingly difficult, to say the least. But nevertheless, Phil Larder was employed by. I got him in, not Clive Woodward, as Clive has said. There's one or two like that, and I said to Clive and to Dean Richards and others, please use them. And they helped enormously, because they had experience from, in this case, rugby league, but there was other people who came in as well. I see that now we've got a full-time doctor. All of these things were changing. I introduced weights. I got Tom McNabb, who joined the RFU. Tom was an athletics coach, and of course, an athletics coach knows more about athletics and training for athletics than does a rugby player or rugby coach. And so people like that came aboard and give off their services brilliantly. And I got the director of the British Amateur Weightlifting Association. But I got him to Bissam Abbey, and he brought some weightlifters with him. And he brought Judy Oakes, who's the British shot put champion.
Oh, yeah.
And I can still see this petite woman. She's got a power bar down here, about 200 pounds on it. She goes like this, and he goes, and the players went, yeah. You know, and they hadn't, because none of them had ever seen a weight in their life to that point. And the other thing was, the weight lifters, the boys stroke men, John Lear, director of the, it's coming back to me now, British Amateur Weightlifting, John Lear put about 25 kilogram weights in a big pile on top of each other, so they were up to about this height, and he said to one of the weightlifters, right, show them what you can do. So the guy just went like this, and he jumped and landed on the top of the weights. This is at Bissam Abbey. Now, that was telling me that the boy had a power-weight ratio, which was extraordinary in his favour. Players were, you know, open-mouthed, especially at a woman, and I thought that was a brilliant introduction. And the weight trainers as well. The little fellas, because you sometimes get fellow weight lifters, you know, who can lift a few hundred pounds, no problem whatsoever. It's partly technique. So power training, the power lift became, we only concentrated on about two or three lifts because we felt that that's what was necessary to start off. Don't sort of kill them off, you know. So that was something else I did.
Now, what sort of date was it you introduced?
Well, that's round about 94, 5, 6, something like that, you know, around that period.
Yeah. Yes, I thought that's what you'd say, because actually it was noticeable that the shape of players changed then.
It's yeah. true. Yeah. I mean,
they went from a triangle with the point at the top to the other way around. Were you consulted on things like law changes in the game?
Not a lot. I was on, I mean, obviously I was secretary of the referees, the coaching committee, the publication committee. The joke on those committees was you more or less had to tell them what was happening. Because, you know, if you come from Cornwall, for example, and you're a member of the committee, how would you know what's going on in Australia? How would you know what's going on in New Zealand or South Africa? Or Japan even, you know? And so it was slow progress, slow going. Sorry, I've forgotten your question again.
Law changes.
They tended to be come through the referees subcommittee, so we would have some idea what was happening, but I think there's been more in the last 10 years probably than ever before. But we did theoretically have a little input into them. But don't forget, once if the rugby union agree a law change, it doesn't mean it's going to be a law change, because it's then going to go to the international board, and there's, what, at least 8 countries are voting on it, and you've got to get a majority. You never know what's going to happen.
Are you pleased with the way the game has evolved?
Pleased. I don't think I would use the word pleased. I think it's, looking at that game yesterday, you need people who are more tactically aware. It's gone slightly too far the way of weight training, and not enough of using your brains. There's not enough people who've got quick feet. That centre number 12 of Gloucester was good. Samoan, I think.
Yes,
he's good.
Yes.
I didn't see anybody else. It was very predictable what they were going to do. Even the lineup, they all went forward for the lineup ball, and they had difficulty in getting it back. They had difficulty getting a drive on. Why didn't they just go forward but throw the ball right over the top and the outside and half hit it? I was saying to myself, you know, there's not enough imagination here.
Yeah.
And I'm not convinced that the people who are selecting the players and selecting the teams are picking them for the right reasons. If you've got somebody who can read the game, who understands what's going to happen next, or anticipate what's going to happen next, I think you'd be quids.
Yeah.
So, I've got reservations, but I mean, it would be easy to change in a way. I mean, Peter's telling me there's a lot of good young Gloucester players, but
indeed,
when they're going to get a game?
Yeah. You know? Yes, we were sitting there yesterday amongst our friends saying, why aren't some of them playing? You know?
Yeah.
Because they've got pace and guile.
You see, I watched Cornish Pirates, and there's a guy called, he's a Welshman, Rodri McAteer. I don't know if he played yesterday, but he played against London Welsh and he scored a try. I would always pick him because he can score. My first question, who can score? Is he a forward, is he a back? Because it doesn't matter any difference. Now I'm going to work something around him, or them, hopefully. You know, and I just don't think that happens enough. I don't think the people are looking for scorers. They're looking for big muscle blokes, you know, who will run straight through. Yeah. And I think you should think of other things.
I think all that amounts to is you could give them some useful advice, Don.
Possibly. Well, I mean, you know, I want to talk to them and say, have you thought about this? You know, why did you do this? Why did you not change?